You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Genesis in chapter 27. It came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I'm old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I'll make thee savory meat for thy father such as he loves. Now shall bring it to thy father that he may eat, he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure would feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. His mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, set and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He discerned not because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. He said, Art thou my very son Esau? He said, I am. He said, Bring it near to me, against my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. His father Isaac said unto him, Come now near and kiss me, my son. He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's son bow down to thee, and cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed is he that blesses thee. It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone in the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? He said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of it all, before thou camest and blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, hath taken away thy blessing. He said, Is not the name Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto him, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew from above. Dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword thou shalt live, and shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing where his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Father God, again, for this privilege, we want to pause afresh and to thank you again for your faithfulness and your grace. At the same time, we realize afresh also that we have a constant need of your grace, and therefore we look to you to that end as you sanctify us here and now, and this to your purpose, as you cleanse us and energize us of yourself, rebuking the evil one, honoring your great Son, edifying thy people. Thank you for attending these things, Father, because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, those of you who have been with us in this study of Hebrews 11, to refresh your mind and bring us our minds to one point in time, you've seen how each hero of faith here, God has selected the thing that was pleasing in his sight, that demonstrates to us that part of faith that will enable us to be well-pleasing. And you'll recall that we begin with Abel, who shows us the way of proper worship by the offering of a sacrifice that was pleasing in God's sight. And that was by the shedding of blood, a picture of what our Lord did on us on our behalf. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so Abel speaks to our heart and our mind of the proper worship, the proper way of entrance into God's presence. Likewise, Enoch, the second on the board here, walked with God. He walked with God because he pleased God. Note carefully the order of things here, because not only are the words of God perfect, but the works of God are perfect. For you cannot walk with God until you have worshiped God aright. In the same way, Noah, moved with fear, preparing an ark to saving his household, and by his testimony of the great judgment to come, he became a witness of God, a faithful witness, in a time when everything rationally was against what he had to say. He stood alone. He became the faithful witness. And just as in the case of Abel and the case of Enoch, Enoch walked with God, and Noah witnessed for God. But notice the order again. You cannot be a witness for God until you walk with God. And you cannot walk with God until you have worshiped God. Just as these three form a perfect pattern, Abraham's life speaks to us of obedience. He never argued the case with God. Whatever God said, he did it. He did not question why. Even at the time when God said to him, take your son, your only son, to Mount Moriah and offer him as a living sacrifice to be slain. He did not say, well, that's pretty strenuous, God, you know. I'll argue the case a little bit. He did not. He took off for Mount Moriah. He obeyed. And so Abraham has come to us as the father of faith. He obeyed God. We sang that song this morning, Trust and Obey. How truth it is, you see. Sarah, his wife, laughed at God when he said, at 90 years of age, she would have a child. She laughed. Her rational mind made her laugh, obviously. But God wanted to help her. So when she laughed, he said to her, anything too hard for God? This caused her to take hold of that promise which she laughed at. And at the set time, at the appointed time, God came. And Sarah had a boy, and they named him Isaac, which means laughter. And every time she looked at that boy, she had a good laugh. Not only so, but all those who hear today and believe what the Bible says can have a good laugh with her. You ladies haven't reached 90, but when you do, if you had a child, you'd laugh too. But she lived to see the conclusion of God's faithfulness. Sometimes God makes promises to us that we never live in this life to see come to pass. But she did. she saw it brought to a conclusion. At the set time, the proper place. And now we come to Isaac. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. When you read the story, we just read one chapter up this morning, but let me get Isaac on the board over here. But Isaac is number 6 in the order. That's interesting, too. He's a number of man. And this is the test of the will of the flesh. And he overcame. He overcame the will of the flesh. Going back to Genesis now, to chapter 25. We read chapter 27. But in chapter 25 and verse 23, speaking of the birth of Jacob and Esau, verse 23. Lord said unto her, that is unto Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother. His hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, underscore this, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Why did Isaac love Esau? That's right. Appeal to the flesh. He was a man's man. He was a hunter, a man of the field. I know some men seeing some boys sometime becomes the apple of their eye because he's performing what his daddy probably couldn't do in the first place, you see. And he makes sure it's appeal to the flesh. Now, one of the children, other places tells us that, and this we just read a minute ago, the elder was to serve the younger. That was contrary to the way in which the children of Israel were brought up, because the elder was the firstborn. To them the blessing went. We learn also another place that Esau despised his birthright. In fact, he sold it for a mess of pottage. Notice, he was overcome by the flesh. And Jacob used the flesh to trip him, to trick him. And we see Rebekah did the same thing. Rebekah appealed to the strategy of deceiving her husband, her own will of the flesh. Rebekah was overcome by the will of the flesh, trying to do God's business, not God's way, but her way. Jacob was overcome by the flesh and his trickery. And Esau was overcome by the flesh because of his gluttony. But Isaac overcame the flesh, as we shall see. Not only did he overcome the flesh, but he spoke of things to come. He became a prophet of God. All this by faith. He did not allow himself in the final analysis. Get the story now. We read it. I'm not going back and reread it. But I'm going to bring it to your attention, the high points of it. Isaac is ready to die. He knows his Lord. He's going blind. And he knows the time has come for the blessing of the firstborn. And Esau is the firstborn. He knows also that in the purpose of God that the younger is the one that's going to please God as far as the blessing is concerned. Because the younger, the elder was to serve the younger. He knows also that his son Jacob has tricked his older brother into selling his birthright. He knows these things. Now his desire of the flesh was to bless Esau. So he wanted an excuse for his own weakness, so he called his son in. He said, you know, my days are numbered, and I want you to help me to bless you. Go out and kill a venison and fix me up a good meal, and I'll be able to bless you in spite of what I know ought not to do. His mother was a very suspicious woman. She realized that Esau was Isaac's favorite. She was waiting for that day, and she knew that it had to come soon. So she kept a close eye on things. When she learned about it, she said, well, now I've got to do something. She did not trust God, even though God had given her the promise. She's going to run ahead of God. So she called Jacob in. And Jacob is rightly named the heel catcher. It means, in the good American language, a scoundrel of the first water. He'd do anything for a quarter. He loved that prestige and that money. Esau could have cared less about it. Exactly opposite. So his mother said to him, look, son, Esau's going to get the blessing in spite of everything that's happened. Unless we get our heads together here, figure out a way. And I've figured it out for us. I'm going to go kill couple of goats, and I'll dress you up in the hair of those goats. We'll put on Esau's clothes on you, and you can take this savory meat in. I can cook meat he loves too, you know. He won't know the difference between a goat and a savory. An old man, he lost his taste anyway. He just smells, that's all, and he 5 senses. He's going by the flesh anyway, so we'll just cook him up real right. So they did that. He comes in. But you know, as blind as he was suspicious. And we wouldn't know that he knew what he was doing in spite of what he said unless God had told us in Hebrews 11 he blessed them by faith. He believed that God would handle it in some way. And so finally, to put it to the final test, he brought him over and he said, "Kiss me, my son." He said, "You know, strange. Sure smells like Esau. Everything is like Esau except one thing. The voice is the voice of Jacob. That's the evil one." He heard that, you see. He knew. You can see the wheels turning in his head. Well, this is pure self-deception, and yet he used his own self-deception to justify the fact that he blessed Jacob. Because when Esau came in and he realized that what he had done was the right thing, he said to Esau, "I blessed that crook, and he'll stay blessed." Turn to Hebrews 12. We start reading at verse 15. The writer here is saying, "Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled, lest thou be a fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You remember in the story how he begged his father to reverse that? "No, I blessed him. He's blessed." He kept on crying. He said, "You only got one blessing?" "Well," he said, "we'll give you a blessing." And he gave Esau a blessing of things to come, prophetic wise. You remember the last verse we read in the reading of our text? Esau hated Jacob all the days of his life. That's been almost 4,000 years ago. And this picture hasn't changed one iota. Esau still hates Jacob. In the 83rd Psalm, it tells us at this age, as it closes out, the children of Esau and Ishmael will form a confederation to wipe out that nation, that there be no Israel, name of Israel under the sun. So that what had happened back yonder 4,000 years ago, Isaac prophesied of things to come. Esau still hates Jacob. They're half brothers, and as far as they're concerned, because Ishmael, Esau, his offspring, married into the family of Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham by a bondwoman, not by freedom. See the far-reaching effect. Now, you and I, if we were selecting some great thing that Isaac did, I don't think we would have selected what God selected. But he saw in the man Isaac a man willing to overcome his own flesh. All he wanted was an excuse to be able to stand in his own son's eyes, that he hadn't double-crossed him. And God gave him that way out by letting him use his own mind to deceive his own self. And so he overcame the will of the flesh. What he desired in the flesh, he never went through. Now, that's all academic. Let's look at it in a personal way. Think about your own life, your own desires of the flesh. What an influence it has. As Paul said, who should deliver me from this body of death, all of its desires, its wants? You bothered that at all? The people you like to be around are the people you want to associate with, isn't it? A dullard you don't want to be around, do you? You like people you like to be around people you like, don't you? You're a very strange breed, you know, all of you that way. You want to be around the people that appeal to the flesh. What you can smell, taste, feel, hear. Hear? Now you got itching ears, you know. We all like, this is the personalities we deal with. That's of the flesh, every one of them. You have to choose between two people. One who is of the flesh, and the other's a dillard. Don't make any impression on it. You don't like the fellow makes money. But you know, beloved, when God sees that situation, the chances are, doesn't always work that way, but the chances are the one that you don't want to be around for some reason, because of the flesh, that's the fellow that God wants you to be a witness to. He's the fellow that needs help. He's lonesome. He's alone. Every once in a while, I go down to Shepherd Mall. A bunch of old men down there, about 75, to, some of them is older than I am. And I go down there trying to say something about the Lord, but all they talk about is their operation and their pains and their aches. People ask me how I feel. I hope, please quit asking me that, because I feel horrible. I don't like to talk about it. I try to keep from it, because that's what old people all talk about. And that, when I get to where I have to talk about my operations and my pains and aches, I realize that I'm getting old. So I avoid that as much as I possibly can. Of course, I'm an exception to every rule. You always understand that. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I go down there about once every two or three weeks thinking that I'll get a break in there. But I don't. The minute that I begin to deal with something that is substance, they're sitting around these tables down there drinking coffee, and they talk about everything under the sun that has to do with their own frailties. And they get sick of hearing it. I sometimes feel like I ought to get up and walk out, but I don't have to worry about that, because it isn't very long once I begin to talk about the things of spiritual. One by one, they get up and walk away from me. They don't want anything to do with me. So it's a two-way street, you see. Strange thing. The flesh does not like those things, because it speaks to them of something that they don't have. That's why Jacob, that's why Esau, that's why Rebekah failed God. They went to the dictates of the flesh. But you notice how that the trickery of Jacob could not forfeit what God had promised. The strategy of Rebekah could not change the course of what God promised. Even though they both were conspirators of the first water. And Esau, even though he sold his birthright, God allowed him a blessing. Of things to come. A way out where one day he'd be free. This is grace, you see. None of these things ever changed. They didn't change a thing. But men and the flesh tried to change him. We're still trying to do that, you know. This is why whatever we get involved in must be energized of God. So much of what we do is what we get all fired up over. And I was interesting, time's gone, but last night they had some real fiery speeches. A couple of black men especially when they spoke. Man, they did get enthusiastic. I thought, well, you know, now they've fired up this audience better than anybody else down here, but 24 hours, that fire will be gone, you know. Some of the things they said was true. Some of the things they said was a little bit exaggerated, you know what I mean. It's the facts that will hold you in the driver's seat, not that high pinnacle thing, you see, because that's of the flesh. And all of us have this problem of the flesh. Isaac, the reason that his name's put in there is because he overcame the will of the flesh. How? By faith. He believed God would be sovereign in the matter, regardless of what happened. See? That's hoping against hope. Father, thank you again for the Word and its faithfulness, for the Holy Spirit who's come to take the things of Christ and make them alive. Help us not to be just hearers of the Word, but those who are energized from on high to obedience. Thank you for tenderness, Father, because we ask this grace in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.